Today we're going to talk about topology. This will be a new topic for a lot of you. It's very interesting. It's a generalization of geometry in the sense that classical geometry, Euclidean geometry, studies rigid shapes like triangles and squares and rectangles and circles. Topology studies shapes that can be deformed into each other. So nothing is rigid anymore. It's like everything is made of rubber. People in the old days, people used to call topology rubber sheet geometry. A joke that people used to tell is that a mathematician does not know a coffee cup from a donut because they both have the same shape. They're both a loop with a hole in the middle. And there's a figure here to illustrate this idea. Okay, in what follows, we will use interval notation, which is something you've seen before. If a less than or equal to b are real numbers, then we define open intervals a, b to be the set of all x strictly between a and b. Closed interval on the left, closed interval on the right, a, b to be the set of all x in the real so that x bigger than or equal to a, less than or equal to b. Closed interval on the left, open interval on the right is the set of all x in the real so that x is bigger than or equal to a and less than b. And open interval on the left, closed interval on the right is the set of all x in the real so that x is bigger than a and less than or equal to b. You've all seen this before. Standard interval notation. Intervals of the form open on the left, open on the right, AB are called open. Those of the form closed on the left, closed on the right, AB are called closed. And the other two are often called half open or half closed. The next figure illustrates these four types of intervals. And now we're going to generalize the terms open and closed to more general sets. A set U in the reals is called open if for each X in U, there is an epsilon greater than 0 so that the open interval x minus epsilon x plus epsilon lies in U. And the next figure illustrates this idea. The little interval x minus epsilon x plus epsilon is frequently termed a neighborhood of x. That's very important and useful terminology. So, example, the set U is a set of all x in the real so that absolute x minus 3 less than 2 is open. To see this, choose a point x in U. Let epsilon be 2 minus absolute x minus 3, which is positive because absolute x minus 3 is less than 2. And, of course, what we're doing here is we're choosing epsilon to be the distance of x to the boundary of u. Then we claim that the interval I lies in u. For if t is an I, then absolute t minus 3 is less than or equal to, by the triangle inequality, absolute t minus x plus absolute x minus 3. But absolute t minus x, of course, is less than epsilon. So this is less than epsilon plus absolute x minus 3. But epsilon is, by definition, 2 minus absolute x minus 3. And that's added to plus x minus 3. The x minus 3's cancel, and you end up with a 2. So absolute t minus 3 is less than 2, and that means that t lies in u. So we started out with a t and I and showed that that t lies in u, so therefore I is a subset of u. And that's what we need to know to see that u is open. There's a picture of an open set, open interval. The way to think about the definition of open set is that a set is open when none of its elements is at the edge of the set. Each element is surrounded by other elements of the set, indeed a whole interval of them. Contrast the last figure with the next figure. The remainder of this section will make these comments more precise. So this figure here shows a half-open interval, and the point on the far right is in the set, but it doesn't have an interval around it that lies entirely in the set. So the set is not open. Proposition. If U sub alpha are open sets for alpha in some possibly uncountable index set, then U, which is the union over alpha and A of U sub alpha, is open. So in other words, the arbitrary union of open sets is open. Proof, let X in U. By definition of union, the point X must lie in some U alpha, but U alpha is open. Therefore, there is an interval I, so that I, an open interval I, such that I is a subset of U alpha, but therefore I is a subset of U, because I is a subset of U alpha, and U alpha is a subset of U. This proves that U is open. Proposition, if U1, U2 through UK are open sets, then the set V, which is the intersection J equal 1 to K of UJ, is also open. Let X be in V, that X is in UJ for each J. Since each uj is open, there is for each j a positive number epsilon j, so that ij, which is x minus epsilon j, x plus epsilon j, lies in uj. Let epsilon be the minimum of epsilon 1 through epsilon k, then epsilon is bigger than 0 because it's the minimum of finitely many positive numbers, and x minus epsilon x plus epsilon lies in uj for every j. But that just means that x minus epsilon x plus epsilon lies in v, and therefore v is open. Notice the difference between these two propositions. Arbitrary unions of open sets are open, but in order to guarantee that an intersection of open sets is still open, we had to assume that we were only intersecting finitely many. If there were infinitely many sets, then the minimum of the epsilon j's could be zero, and there could be trouble. As an example, look at the sets uj, which is minus 1 over j plus 1 over j, with the open interval, left endpoint minus 1 over j, right endpoint 1 over j. Each of these sets is open, but the intersection of the sets is the singleton 0, which is not open. The same analysis as in the first example shows that if A is less than B, then the open interval AB is an open set. On the other hand, intervals of the form left open, right closed AB, or left closed, right open AB, or left closed, right closed AB are not open. In the first instance, the point B is the center of no interval contained in open A, closed B. And the other two examples are similar, and we'll leave those for you to think about. Thanks for your attention today.